Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is the last Friday in July. July is over with, and now we're headed into August, which is apples and backpacks and all that good stuff.
Yeah, apples and backpacks.
Like, what's at the store? What's being changed in the seasonal aisle?
They took all the floaties. I've already seen Halloween stuff out, so everybody's rolling past August.
My thing's like, if you get your Halloween candy now, are you eating it or are you saving it for Halloween? In which case, isn't it dusty?
I'm eating it, but I also gotta eat it now. Halloween candy from a year ago in my own house. Yeah. So
I should be for giving it away to others. I'm always like, here's some. I think I got some dusty candy back in July. Let me pull it out for you.
I'm like, if I'll eat it,
yeah,
I'll give it to a kid.
Kids don't give, they don't give a shit either. They're all gonna now. Nah, you dump it out
There's
of your pillowcase.
So much shit in there. It's like infinite shelf life.
Right. It's like, I left this hamburger on the under the bed for 6 years and it has zero mold on it because it's made out of not food.
Probably shouldn't eat it then.
No, definitely not. But everybody came through with all their stories this week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. From supernatural to crime committed against them and others.
Thank you to everyone who sent your stories in this week and keep sending them in.
Hell yeah.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one's from Ellie and is called Kia Boys Strike Again. Hi, ladies. I just listened to your Freaky Friday when you mentioned the Kia Boys, and I immediately thought, boy, do I have a story. This was February of last year. I had just moved to San Antonio after leaving my husband, who manipulated me into believing he was sick, but that is a separate story. I own a 2021 Kia Rio, and it was the first thing I ever bought that was brand new during the time I worked three jobs to support my husband and I. I was very attached to my car. Shortly after moving, I was woken up by a roommate who asked me, "Hey, did you move your car?" I have never jumped up so fast. I almost ran outside without any pants because the panic was real. Well, the Kia boys had struck, but that isn't the end. After a week and a half, I was finally called by a detective who told me they had found my car. I was ecstatic and asked when I could go and pick up my stuff. My birth certificate and social were sitting in the glove box, and I was a nervous wreck they had been stolen. The detective said that they cannot release anything because my car is being held for evidence in a murder case. I'm not sure the logistics. I've tried getting the police report, but I keep getting denied. But when I finally got my car, there were blood stains. I have tried everything to get it out, but now they are just part of the car, I guess. Needless to say, I am currently driving around San Antonio, Texas in a possibly haunted car. And for all those saying, just get rid of it, I don't think you know how financing and car values work. I wish I could. My car was stolen two times after this, and I still drive around with the USB. If you own a Kia, Hyundai, just know there is a settlement for all the thefts. Thank you for everything you guys do. When I found your podcast, I was struggling every day to continue to live. But you brought a lot of light and laughter into an otherwise dark life.
Oh, well, I'm glad we can bring a smile to your face.
That is so very thoughtful and moving, Ellie, to share that with us. So thank you so much. And for those that might not have heard the original Kia boys, so
yes,
this specific type of Kia is just like one of the easiest cars to steal ever.
Yeah, it was in 2022, I think, a guy realized that with USBs, it was certain Kia and Hyundais that were from 2011 to 2022, which is a really long time to have what was a lack of engine immobilizer. So the thieves could basically unwrench the steering column, hotwire the ignition using just a little USB. When the guy posted this on YouTube, I think it was in the Milwaukee area, it was a 500%+ increase, like overnight, that of these specific types of cars. Wow. And that I think
getting stolen. So everyone's almost like, well, we learned how to do it. Let's go out.
Let's fucking do it. Who cares? And they said it's still going on to this day. Like if you like Ellie said, if you still have that car, unfortunately, there's not really like a patch for it, but that it's very dangerous because guess who sees YouTube videos and then thinks, I'm going to go steal a car. It seems easy. Teens, tweens, preteens, 11 and 12 year olds who have taken to doing this because it seems exciting on YouTube when you see this like documentary of the Kia boys and going to be like them.
The Kia boys. All I can think of are the giant hamsters that drove the car. Those are the Kia boys to me.
That's what if we found out that's who actually was stealing all these cars? Then I think we have to
let him take it.
Yeah, it's theirs.
Or we're like, well, I trade you my Kia for a giant plastic ball I can roll myself down the street in.
It's the only thing they love more than a Kia Soul is a giant plastic ball that's their size. But Ellie is right, too. I think you have there's a class action lawsuit and there's the payments. I think it went through appeal. Some people were getting paid. It has now been paused again to an appeal due to an appeal. But there's I would go check into it if you have a Kia or a Hyundai that was manufactured between 2011 and 2022, because I think you can still claim maybe until next year. So you still have time, because this is a pain in the ass. This is crazy. If your whole car gets stolen more than once, not to mention then used in a crime like a murder.
That's so sad. And I don't know. Shouldn't you be able to get details of a case that your car was involved in?
I can't imagine why they wouldn't share at least something unless it is an ongoing investigation and hasn't been solved yet. Then, yeah, that would be probably why they wouldn't want to tell you. But it's heart-wrenching to think what not just that it was stolen and used for this, but what that might mean to, you know, it's
what went on.
Yeah, it's like the moments that occurred in that car.
Yeah.
That, you know, you didn't intend for it to happen.
It will never not shock me to whenever I hear of like crime scenes being released back to the family, or in this case, just a victim, they don't clean it up for you.
No, I remember the Gilgo Beach serial killer, the very destructive execution of the search warrant. And afterwards, everyone leaves and you have to hire your own company to come. But especially in a biomedical hazardous situation, there's special folks for that.
Do you remember, this was so long ago, we covered a case which was unique because the camera from the neighbor next to this apartment complex, an interior apartment, and the guy like came up the stairs, took a right, went right into his apartment door, and then you could hear on the audio from his neighbor's camera him being attacked by, I think, it may have been a former roommate or a current roommate that had brutally killed this man. And it was, you could hear the audio. And the police went and investigated, and then they left. And then they were like, okay, family, you can come get all of his stuff. Nothing had been cleaned. And can you imagine walking into the crime scene where your loved one was brutally slain? I don't get it. I know that there are companies specifically for cleaning up biohazard stuff with crime scenes. What I don't get is how part of the investigation does not end with, okay, and now the crime scene can be cleaned, so we're going to facilitate this company coming out and taking care of that before we just let anyone in here.
I would agree. I think it's something that should be covered by our tax dollars. I don't think the onus should be on the family who's already been horrifically victimized. And especially you see in a case like this, a third party who's innocent, who just their car got stolen and this was part of it. And they're just like, here is it back. And you want to say, is there a biohazard concern I should worry about? Is this safe for me to drive? But I think it should be part of like a victim's compensation bill where for you have a right to follow up health, you know, benefits of mental health care, physical health care if you need it, because mental health toll takes a toll on your body. And also, any costs that are related to this. I know we pay for, as a society, and we should pay for victims of sexual abuse, domestic violence, if they have to move their apartments or something like that, and work with landlords to let them out of their leases. I think you're right. Something like a cleanup should be covered.
And there is a victim's compensation fund when crimes happen to families. It's so very small what is allocated for you. And I mean, most of the time it's like, well, it's covering my travel expenses because I had to go out of town to this funeral or XYZ. It's not enough to cover that kind of stuff. And even if it was, I don't think, like you said, the onus shouldn't be on the family to have to walk back into that crime scene, see that, and then also pay for and schedule someone to come clean it. That is almost, to me, more traumatizing than learning of the actual crime, because mm-hmm. you're seeing it. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of in the Murdoch case when Paul's uncles were yeah. at the property, and one of his uncles was like, I was in that shed and just started picking up pieces of his brain and skull because I felt like that was the only thing I could do, like the last thing I could do. Mm-hmm. And that his brother called him and was like, you got to get out of there. This mm-hmm. is not good for you. And that's always stuck with me because he will never not envision that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, that's forever burned into his brain. Why don't the police clean that up? Why would you release a property back when two people have been blown away by a shotgun?
Yeah. You're, like you said, it's something that a professional seems to need to handle. Yeah. So an unrelated third party, so that you're not re-victimizing. Because the behavior you just described, that's a broken man. That's somebody who sees
and
his
shock.
Nephew.
Yeah.
Shock, broken, heart-wrenched. Yeah, of course. So you're acting irrationally. That's not a rational thing to just start grabbing that. And it is a visceral, like, there's nothing left of him, and you mm-hmm. can feel that. So perhaps that is not an appropriate place. If a family opted in and said, for me, part of our culture is no matter what, we want to do this, or part of my own calling says I want to do that. But you're right. I don't know that it needs to be the responsibility of the victim. So that's, it's, man, I'm so sorry, Ellie.
Yeah, it's, I mean, even though it was your car, I would never get in my car and look at those things and not think, well, I wonder what happened here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you should be entitled to kind of know that, considering your car was involved with it.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I would still, I mean, ask again. You know, like I said, if it's an open case, that's a no, but it never hurts to ask or get like a detective's phone number and just say, listen, you know, this is for my own peace of mind. I'm not asking for names and phone numbers, but could you just tell generally, oh, you know, it was a drug deal gone wrong and one guy stabbed another guy. That's quite different than like, well, they were tortured in your back seat mm-hmm. for 16 hours. You know, just like, you know, I just want to know.
So, I'd want to know. And depending on what I found out, I mean, I may try to figure out, like, how do I get a new car? Because I can't. And, you know, that might be a reason you don't want to find out until you're in a position where you could get a new car.
Yeah. It's such a tough situation. I'm sorry.
It is. Well, Ellie, keep that USB close and hopefully you don't have any more run-ins with anyone, Kia boys or anybody else.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, this next one is from Alyssa and is called We Were Almost Part of a Real Life Slasher Story. Happy Friday, ladies. First thing first, your podcast is really the bee's knees and the cat's pajamas. Heck, I would even go so far as to say it's the bee's pajamas and the cat's knees. Seriously, though, you are both so funny, insightful, and empathetic. And listening to your podcast has gotten me through many days at work and 3 a.m. wake-ups from my 1.5-year-old son. Appreciate you both. Anyway, I want to tell you all about my brush with backwoods serial killers. Well, to be fair, they were probably serial killers. Unconfirmed, but probably. When my friend and I were about 16, we decided to take a road trip 45 minutes away to pick up my younger cousin and take her out for a fun day. The radio was on, playing Ministry. It was a beautiful fall day, and the roads were uncongested since my cousin lived in a small rural town. The day before, my friend and I were cleaning out my grandpa's shed, and she found an old keychain that belonged to my aunt, a pink sparkly number emblazoned with the word sexy. That keychain was swaying back and forth from her ring in the ignition. Now, this was a time before GPS on the phone, so we had a printout from MapQuest with the directions to my cousin's house. Something must have went sideways between Ministry songs because we were definitely not in my cousin's town about 45 minutes later. We were in some podunk town in the middle of nowhere. And I am not kidding you, this town was creepy as fuck. The only thing in sight was a super greasy gas station surrounded by cornfields. Way off in the distance, a decrepit white house with a busted porch could be seen. Guaranteed there was a slaughterhouse nearby as well. Picture the roads and the properties surrounding the Sawyer home and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and that's basically where we were. I got out to go inside the gas station and asked for directions. My friend was supposed to wait in the car, but she wanted a drink, so she came up to the register behind me. In that moment, some kind of otherworldly intuition came over me. I took one look at her, and I knew this bitch totally just locked her keys in the car. Sure enough, we went back out to the car, pulled the handle, and it was confirmed. We were locked out. The keys were sitting on the driver's seat with the sexy keychain mockingly facing up right in view. Ironic, since we were in a situation that was anything but sexy. Remember, we were stupid teenagers, so we didn't think to call a locksmith or AAA. Instead, we looked around the greasy gas station to find whatever we could to pick the lock and open the door. I found a bobby pin, a crowbar, and even a spare key sitting in the grass. I wasn't a professional at breaking into a car, so needless to say, nothing was working. After about 35 minutes sitting stuck at the gas station, a giant big rig truck pulled into the parking lot. A behemoth of a man got out of the driver's seat. He was wearing a white tank top with a giant brownish stain on his beer gut. He had a bald head and manic energy, kind of like Captain Spaulding in Rob Zombie movies. Desperate for a way out of there, we told this man all about our car trouble. Obviously, a stupid thing to do. His response was to laugh and say, "Oh, don't worry, I got just a thing to break into a car." Why? Why did this man have a way to break into his car? And better yet, what in the world was that stain on his shirt from? He then told us that his car breaker enterer was at his house, which was just a few miles away. We said, "Okay." He then proceeded to wrap his meaty hand around the back of my neck and jokingly say, "I could just wring your neck." My response was, "Okay, but don't." This guy was a weirdo, but still, we waited like sitting ducks for him to come back and break into the car to get the keys. While we waited, two older guys, maybe in their early 20s, came out of the middle of the cornfield. We had no idea where they came from, but one was wearing SpongeBob pajama pants. They told us, "We heard you had car trouble. Need a lift?" Yikes, who told these guys? We told them, "No thanks," and they disappeared back into the cornfield. Every man who was coming to save us helpless damsels in distress was looking into the car window and seeing the sexy keychain. Who knows what the hell they were thinking? We had been at that gas station for maybe about 2 hours when our truck driver friend showed back up with, no joke, a contraption that looked like a crossbow. It had a thin hook protruding from the end that he held at the top of the driver's side window. It snaked down past the rubber ceiling, and he was able to simply pop up the lock. The car was open. My friend gave the truck driver a hug. I gave him a half-hearted wave, a mumbled thanks, and got my ass in the passenger seat and locked the door. Looking back as a 35-year-old now, I would never in a million years give those men all that information. I don't know if I was wrong to assume that brown-stained shirted truck driver and Mr. SpongeBob Pants and his friend were dangerous, but the "wring your neck" comment and the offer for a lift definitely raised alarm bells. I feel like we could have had a run-in with serial killers and not even known it. Am I wrong to make that assumption? I mean, the guys helped us out. Why was I so suspicious? I don't know. I'd be curious to hear what you both make of the story. Love you both and appreciate all that you do. Let's all keep our guards up, our eyes open, and our laughs loud and boisterous, even in times as crazy as this. Alyssa.
Oh, Alyssa, I like to call this your road trip directed by Rob Zombie. What is this?
Oh,
hey, I could wring your neck.
Like, what?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen, the original. And I can picture exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And having lived and grown up in Texas, that's just everywhere. I mean, we drive 45 minutes from where we live, and we're in an area that looks like it could be from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And mm-hmm. I'm always worried about breaking down out there mm-hmm. and something like this happening. Now, of course, we have cell phones and whatnot that would have definitely come in handy back then. But back then, you didn't. You had maybe mm-hmm. a payphone. You were already printing out MapQuest directions. Plus, you're young and scared. We've all had to learn some lessons the hard way. And I'm glad that yours was learned with hardly any scars attached.
Yeah, you're mostly unscathed. As a teen, locking my keys in the car, it was like my friends were around and we were far and it was dark. It was not. And then that's when the villains with the hook crossbow showed up. Like, this is way
Or the man in SpongeBob pants just emerges. Children of the Corn style from the middle of this field.
Do you need me to give you a ride? And you're like, no, go back to whatever hovel you crawled
from. Where did you even come from?
Yeah, no, it's disturbing when you're out of your element, and especially back in this day when you had the MapQuest directions, because God help you if you took a wrong turn with MapQuest. Man. Because you would hope you could find your way back to where you had gone wrong, but if you couldn't, then it's like, well, these are worthless because I'm already seven turns away from mm-hmm. where I should have been. So
nothing's rerouting in real time to help you out. It was a tough time, kiddos.
It's a real tough time. Man, but y'all made it out. You made it out unscathed. And I do. My only question is, what was that stain from? Probably knowing him, it was probably beer while he was driving. But let's hope that's all it was.
Beer, or I was thinking like tobacco spit.
He probably spit his chaw out.
Yeah. Gross. Just chewing it and it's just dripping down his fucking neck right onto that tank top. I hate it.
No, filthy. But this is a hell of a story to tell, sexy. That keychain.
That's the funniest part. I mean, that's something out of a Rob Zombie movie. Seriously. To be like this funny, quirky joke. And it's like, and at some point, the sexy keychain will be splattered with blood. And that will be a shot you see. But it's a fun quirk to the story that makes this even more ridiculous.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for sending that in.
Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to spinquest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Well, this next one is from Brandon and is called 3 a.m. Sighting of Something. Hello, I've been a huge follower since 2019. The first thing I do every Wednesday morning is check my app to see what this week's topic is. Y'all are just all around incredible. A month ago, my girlfriend and I moved into a house together. She also has an adorable foxhound named Dottie, short for Dorothea, like the song, that is a joy when she's not destroying the kitchen. Unfortunately, Dottie occasionally wakes up in the middle of the night to go potty. It's a nice, quiet neighborhood, and it's nice to be around trees again after living in a major city for over 10 years. But that also means I'm closer to wildlife and maybe other things. A couple of weeks ago, Dottie woke me up, and when I glanced at my phone, I saw it was 3 a.m., which is just not creepy at all. I got Dottie in her harness and walked out the door, letting my girlfriend stay in bed. However, as I got near the end of the driveway, I swore I saw something. In the neighbor across the street's backyard, I saw a figure. The best way I can describe it is a translucent wisp with brown streaks, about human height, but I didn't notice any limbs. It was just standing in the backyard. I stared at it for maybe 15 to 20 seconds, then saw it move behind the house out of view. At this point, I thought I imagined it. I wasn't wearing my glasses, and although I can see well enough without them, maybe the backyard lights were messing with me. So I took a couple more steps. Then the figure came back out from behind the house, almost like it was checking on me. Then it went back behind the house for good. At this point, I was totally freaked out. I gathered up my courage and took Dottie for the rest of her walk, let her do her business, then immediately came home and jumped in bed, trying not to think about it. I haven't seen anything like this since that night. I tried to tell myself it was a deer or something, but the body wasn't long. Maybe the neighbor was just hanging out in their backyard that late. What, they got embarrassed and ran away? Or maybe it was something else. I have no clue, but we'll definitely be adding this being to a D&D game, so let me know if you have any ideas for names. Thank y'all again for this wonderful show. My girlfriend and I are celebrating 2 years together next month, and as a treat, we went to Point Pleasant with my dad to slap Mothman's ass. Also, enjoy these pictures of Dottie.
What a way to celebrate.
I love it. And congrats. The three of you in front of Mothman, frame that, put it above the mantle.
And you know, it's one cheek for every year. So congrats.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you got to find something with three cheeks for next year.
Exactly. You got to keep upping the ante. Well, Ella had an idea of what this might be, right? Didn't she? Didn't she tell us she thought?
She was sitting next to me when I was doing these the other day, and I always have to turn my laptop away from her because I'm like, some of this stuff you can't read. And I said, if I come across a story that you can hear, I'll read it. So I read this one to her, and she thought it sounded like a Fresno Nightcrawler.
Ooh, could be.
I don't know about the brown streaks, unless maybe the Fresno Nightcrawler had a little bit of an accident.
Streaking somewhere else. Streaking how we should not streak. Yeah, I mean, any, it's got to be a cryptid or maybe, you know, energy ball or some type of, or your neighbor might be wearing a cloak of some kind, dashing about their backyard, which don't rule that out right away. But there's the Swedish thing called a will-o'-the-wisp, which is a ghostly light you see at night. I feel like I read about it when we did the mini lights of Tampa or maybe the Marfa lights, but it's something that's in the distance. It's a wispy, similar to this figure, and I believe it leads travelers astray. So good on you for not following it, because it might end up in your neighbor's house or something. Yeah. Like, damn it.
It's like right across. You're like, hold on a minute.
Hang on a minute. So yeah. Who knows? But I feel like something like that feels like it's watching you back. That's when you say, I see nothing and I will be going inside so I don't get caught.
I would be thinking my eyes are playing tricks on me until I saw it move then come back and then move again. And that, I don't like that. I don't like things moving, especially when you can't see it because you're like, is this bitch about to pop up right next to me?
Yeah. I don't like anything that seems like it's moving intentionally or it's noticed to me. It's one thing if I'm watching something, but then for it to be like, see me back. I'm like, I don't like that.
It's aware of me. I don't like it anymore.
I don't want it to be aware. Well, let us know if you've seen it in your neck of the woods, other listeners, because that way we can help with the name. I don't know. Willie the Wisp.
It's a brown wisp with translucent wisp with brown streaks.
Fresno Night Streaker. Because it was that night. I don't know if you're in Fresno. Whatever city you're in, Night Streaker.
Night Streaker. Yeah. I think Night Streaker is a good name, too.
Yeah. It gives it an interesting question when they're like, a Night Streaker has come out. You have to roll for dexterity to get around it. You're like, I need a description of this. Is it nude? And you're like, I need to know, is it nude?
No, it's not. In fact, it's not human.
Might be. Oh, man. Well, this is
that we know of, or your neighbors out there at 3 a.m. just doing weird shit, which... I mean, we get enough stories in that I'm like, that could be it too.
It's a different kind of Night Streaker in that case, which call the police if it's that kind.
Yeah. It's the guy that was driving the big rig that lived out with the SpongeBob kids.
Exactly. He's got his stained shirt on. That's what the brown wisp is, the stains from this man's shredded tank top that's just filthy after all these stuff. Well, Brandon, you sound like a lovely person getting up in the middle of the night to walk that doggy. And may you be blessed with more years of spanking Mothman.
Yes, and Dottie, but not spanking, just petting.
Just loving on her. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, this next one is from Mariah. And the subject line is, what the fucky in Kentucky? Hello, dear Sinisterhood friends. I was listening to the Freaky Friday episode 223, and when I heard the Kentucky UAP stories, I knew I had to write in with mine. Firstly, I have to say thank you to you both. I've been listening for years, and I'm always so grateful for your focus on victims and your matter-of-fact way of speaking truth to power. I always tear up when either of you do, and your empathy speaks volumes about your character. Thank you very much. That's very kind of you, Mariah. Mariah says, enough sappy stuff. On to my UAP tale. Some background. I am from Kentucky. I moved to Chicago for about 10 years, but after having kids of my own, the first one during the pandemic, my family and I moved back to the mid-sized Kentucky town that I grew up in. Nothing beats grandma's help with the kids, am I right? For context, our town is about an hour and a half away from both Fort Campbell and Fort Knox, so we are used to military helicopters flying past overhead and even practicing maneuvers in the area. At the end of last year, we bought a house a little outside of town, fairly close to our tiny regional airport. I have noticed this summer large military planes coming and going more frequently than I'm used to in the area, but I chalked it up to us being closer to the airport. Now, the story. This event occurred about a month ago. It was about 10 p.m. and our kids were in bed. I was picking up a few things upstairs so I could bed rot for a little bit before getting to sleep myself. It's been hotter than the seventh circle of hell this summer, with enough humidity to drown you just by standing outside, so my husband was taking a little evening dip in our small pool. As I'm picking up, my husband comes sprinting up the stairs, dripping wet, and urgently says, "Quick, look out the window!" Before I could even formulate a response, he had flipped on the lights, pulled me to the window, ripped open the curtain, and pointed at the sky. He directed me to look left of the moon and said, "Do you notice anything weird out there?" I searched the sky. There is pretty minimal light pollution, so you can see a lot of stars. I noted the familiar blinking lights of a commercial airplane flying low in the sky, but I very quickly spotted what he had run up to show me. Three perfectly round, bright white lights in a triangle formation, moving very fast, much faster than the plane and higher in the sky, from right to left. They didn't look to be close, but the lights were bigger and brighter than those on the plane I spotted, which continued on its lower path, seemingly oblivious. I stared hard at the three lights, thinking it must be my eyes playing tricks on me, or maybe three military planes in formation. But then, the three lights began to rotate around an invisible center point as they flew across the sky. I've seen air shows, drone shows, and the aforementioned routine military maneuver, and this looked nothing like what I've seen before. And the path it was flying was perpendicular to the flight path to and from our airport's runway. "What the fuck is that?" I whispered. My husband whispered back, "Right? Thank God it was still there by the time I got up here, or I would have thought I was seeing things." Don't ask me why we were whispering. It's not like the lights could hear us. The three lights continued across the sky and then just blinked out of existence. They were there 1 second, gone the next. No fading or flying away, just gone. My husband and I stared a while longer, waiting to see if they reappeared. And when they didn't, we looked at each other in silence for a while. And then, "Did we just see a UFO?" he asked me, incredulous. I could only shrug and say, "I guess so." So, what do we think? UFO not from this world? Experimental military aircraft? Or something else entirely? Much love, Mariah.
What the fucky, Kentucky? We have been hearing a lot of Kentucky stories. I think that there's something to y'all being so close to so many military bases.
Yeah, something's cooking. Something's cooking in or around or near Kentucky. And these the three lights moving like this reminded me of Dan Aykroyd in our Celebrity Experience episode talking about being late out late at night, pissing off the balcony, Dan Aykroyd. He's not housebroken, but like seeing the weird lights and like they're in a formation, not flying the same way as a plane. So I don't know.
I think military aircrafts could be an explanation or something else that's just around there because of the military aircraft. But I do think a lot of military aircraft does stuff in the middle of the night, out in the middle of nowhere. And if you see it, then, you know, that's cool. You're left with a lot of questions. And like at the end of the day, they don't really care because they just call people crazy that come out and say that it could be something not from this world.
They're like, what are you going to do about it? You're like, I have video. We'll tell everyone it's AI. But I have my eyewitness report. We'll tell everyone you're crazy. So it is disconcerting to think that there's way more people out there with information or experiences that they feel uncomfortable sharing or like they've been shamed into not sharing. So thank you, Mariah, for first of all, for all your kind words. But also thank you for writing this down, especially since it was corroborated with a second witness. That always makes you feel a little bit more grounded in that. I saw it and you saw it. We saw it. It's not just me and you ran at the last second and missed it.
Yeah. Your husband, tell him thank you too, that he didn't just continue his dip in the pool. He could have just kept relaxing. But when I see something like that, I got to get somebody else involved quickly.
Oh, 100%. You can't just come up 3 hours later and say, hey, you know, the swim was great. I saw a UFO while I was out there. It was nuts. Anyway, I'm going to bed.
Somebody didn't tell me about it.
You fucking tell me. Oh, so good on you, Mr. Mariah. Thank you for doing that. And let us know if you see anything else out there. I think y'all are well positioned.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This next one is from Stephanie, and the subject line is a serial killer and a paranormal investigation. Good morning, ladies. I have a couple true paranormal stories and just a plain scary run-in with an almost serial killer, but the police think he really was a serial killer. I'll start with the almost serial killer, Jesse Matthew. He was at CNU, the college in my hometown, in Newport News, Virginia. I was just back home from living with my ex-husband in Hawaii and going through the divorce at the time. I was a hot, drunken mess, but I still had my wits about me. We were at some local bar called The Boulevard. I was celebrating my divorce and being free from a psycho who held me hostage until my dad, who passed in January 2021, came and requested me. Anyway, once those papers arrived, I probably celebrated every month on that day for about 6 months. I was at the bar sitting and talking to some friends when a man sat down beside me. He made small talk and I just got an awful feeling from him. I got up and went outside with my friends on the patio, and he followed me around, staying off to the side, just watching us. At the end of the night, before I left, I noticed him still watching me, so I asked my friend I've known since high school, who was the bouncer there, to walk me to my car because I didn't have a good feeling. Fast forward years later when I saw the man from the bar on the news. He had been on the run but was located in Texas after being recognized. When they said his history and that he had been in Newport News and was accused of rape and was a person of interest in a few missing girls who, to this day, haven't been found, I about crapped myself. I really dodged a bullet. Now, I'm remarried, and I'd like to tell you about our first apartment/townhouse we had together almost 10 years ago and how it was haunted. I've always been sensitive to the paranormal, but nothing was happening to me at first. My husband and stepson kept having different things happen to them, though. My stepson saw a black mist with glowing red eyes coming out of his closet. It would stay in the corner and shake his bed occasionally. My husband and I were like, what is going on with him? Neither of us had anything happen to us. Then I went out of town for 24 hours to take a friend to Atlanta to pick up her kids. My husband called me around midnight and was freaking out. He said he had been sound asleep and that the bed moved from the center of the room, against the wall, and was violently shaking. He saw the mist with the red eyes. He jumped out of bed, ran downstairs, and immediately called me, asking me when I was going to be back. I was like, I really don't know how much longer. I just made it to Atlanta. He told me what happened and that he saw the missed thing too. I said, try to sleep on the couch. He was home alone because my stepson was at his mom's place that weekend. Well, nothing else happened until around 2 weeks later. I found out I was pregnant with our son, but I didn't know the sex yet, of course. I was laying on the couch and had fallen asleep when I felt something caress my cheek and put my hair behind my ears. I thought, nope, I am not doing this. Well, my husband was asleep and snoring his face off, so I went into my stepson's room since he was away. I fell back asleep, but I was abruptly woken up by the bed shaking, and the mist thing with the eyes was there. All of a sudden, a white ball or orb shot from the hallway into the mist, and it all stopped. I freaked out, ran into the room with my husband, and told him. He said, now do you believe us? My husband contacted a Catholic priest. Neither of us are Catholic. The priest showed up to our townhouse, stepped inside, looked at us, and said, this is good versus evil. He said he wasn't prepared for this. He handed us two prayers, holy water, a crucifix, and told us where to put it in the apartment. He apologized and said he couldn't help because the townhouse was on Native American burial ground. We had a friend who had a paranormal investigation business come over, and they set up cameras to conduct an investigation. They left the cameras on while we were home and also while we were gone so they could compare the levels of activity depending on who was at the house. One weekend, we left and let them have the place. They caught the mist with the eyes and a deep, evil voice telling them to get the F out. They also caught some talking when we were at work and a nice voice telling whoever the evil entity was to go and leave us alone. Our lease was going to be up in 3 months, and we asked if we could switch apartments to one on the other side of the property. They said no, so we moved to another city. Come to find out, the same things had happened to multiple tenants before us. The landlord couldn't keep anyone in there. While packing up the place, I had put some of the boxes in the closet so we could get through to the kitchen and the half bathroom. One night, I was going upstairs to bed. My husband was right in front of me, and nobody else was there. Suddenly, the closet door opened and the boxes began being thrown into the dining room and kitchen. I ran upstairs. My husband and I could not sleep because of it. I was so glad once we got to the new, unhaunted place. I do have more stories to tell, but I'll save them for another Freaky Friday. Warmest regards, Stephanie.
Stephanie, you got to send us in these recordings.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna see some video,
audio. If they caught
the
mist with the eyes and the voices and all that, hopefully it's recorded somewhere. Send that in, please.
Yeah, get the fuck out. Very scary to hear. Interesting to hear if you are a third party person and interested in the paranormal. But it's very scary if it's your own apartment. You're like, for sure. I will get to a whole nother city.
This is along the lines with like, well, why don't you just get a new car? Whenever it's like, it's easy to say, well, why don't you just move? A lot of people, you can't. So then you're mm-hmm. like, now I got to choose where I'm going to sleep in this house based on the level of activity. And if I felt an invisible hand caress my face and put my hair behind my ears, I mean, it sounds comforting in theory. But
so you open your eyes and there's not a
you're
person.
Like, no one's there. At least it wasn't hitting you in the face or trying to smother you with the pillow. The red eyes with the mist, that would definitely do it for me. Why is everything a mist?
I don't like it. I mean, I wonder energetically if that plays into it, that it's maybe we perceive it as smoke or a mist, like a watery mist, but in reality, it's some type of collection of energy that's catches light rays so that we could see it. That'd really be the only way we'd be able to see it, is if light could bounce off it. But it's weird that it's interesting that the white orb came and knocked the mist with the eyes, that there's some sort of a battle going on. That's where I want to ask the priest, so what do we do to, we would like to join Team Good, and we would like to help enhance Team Good's abilities. Can we, I guess that's where the holy water and the prayers come in, but that I don't want to be in the middle of anybody's fight. I'm like, I just moved in here, man.
Yeah, I'd like, much like, clean up the car before you give it back to me. Priest, do what you need to do.
Before you leave.
Before you just leave. Same with the paranormal people. I would be asking for the tapes and anything that could prove that this really happened to you.
Yeah, I want more info. And also the landlord, man, you can't just like, okay, true. Well, we wiped everything down with Clorox wipes. It's ready for the next person to move in. Do some cleansing rituals. I don't know. Order, find a practitioner in your area if you as the landlord don't feel comfortable. And then that way, it's like Nathan for you when he had the real estate agent advertise that her houses were 100% ghost free. You could advertise that your apartment has been spiritually cleansed before you rent it.
You are on top of a Native American burial ground. That so until that changes, I don't know how good the cleansing will be. You might just have to bulldoze it.
You like bulldoze the whole poltergeist. Place. Yeah, there's
take it down.
There's no hope. There's no hope. Well, yeah, please, Stephanie, send us in the rest of your stories and thanks for sending these two in. And as for the serial killer, sometimes you just get a vibe off of people. You can't, that vibe of this guy is weird and is hunting me, that predator feeling, maybe not all of us extrapolate, therefore he is a serial killer. Certainly, we did earlier when we were in the Rob Zombie film, totally understandable. I mean, that's how it happens. But in this case, you feel that feeling of, oh, something's not right here. You might not know for sure, oh, he's a serial killer, but I'm being perceived and tracked in a way that makes me feel uncomfortable. So I'm glad you had your friend who was a bouncer to walk you out. That's a eerie.
It's like the gift of fear.
That's what they say.
Good for you for listening to your instincts, trusting your gut.
Because sometimes you're like, my gut's like, I don't want to talk to this guy. But then you think, well, I don't want to be rude, so I better sit and engage him and just fuck him.
And that's how you become another number. So if something in your gut is like, this guy, even if he's just like obnoxious, you don't owe anybody shit. So just tell everybody to fuck off. I'm done like being nice to people just because, I don't know, you're like supposed to. I'm like, if you have done something to me that makes me uncomfortable in any way, I no longer feel beholden to you to like placate you or, you know, try and have a friendly conversation. Like, I think a lot of women, we do feel that way. Like, even when it starts to turn uncomfortable, we're like, oh, well, we've already been talking to this person. It'd be weird if I just walked away. And it's like, if all of a sudden it's, would you rather something be weird and awkward for a few minutes, or would you rather be taken to a second location?
Right. And I think too, you're right. We kind of want to override that initial feeling, but instead just pretend that you're the main character in a film and think about, you know,
I do that. But yeah, when I'm like trying to do something cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to hype myself up to do something of like, I'm gonna put some music on, but I think, yeah, something like that. If it's going to be awkward, they'll get over it. But I'm glad you had your bouncer friend. And that's a scary headline to see later of, oh, the guy in the bar.
Yeah.
Has a rap
and tape. It makes you feel like I knew that that something was wrong with that dude. So it shows you your gut will never steer you wrong.
Mm-mm. Well, thank you, Stephanie. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This last one is from Marissa, and the subject line is Ghost Hikers of Indiana. Hi, ladies. I started listening to the pod around 2019 during long hours at the lab in grad school, and I've loved it ever since. Today's story is about a time my husband and I saw what we think were two ghosts while hiking in the forests of southern Indiana. This was during the summer of 2021, when I was writing my dissertation to finish up my degree. Every Saturday since the start of COVID, my husband and I would go hiking to decompress a little. At this point, we were very fast hikers, almost never getting passed by others, and we knew this particular Indiana trail very well and had done it a dozen times. The trail was an out and back. Basically, you go out to a turnaround point and then turn around and hike back the exact same way. The turnaround point of this trail was a small cave at the end of a peninsula, with no side trails and 40-foot cliffs on either side. This meant anyone you saw one way, you probably saw the other. It was a summer morning and pretty hot, 80-something and humid. And we were just past the turnaround point when all of a sudden it got cold. Like shivering, see your breath cold. This was weird. It was summer and not about to storm. I also felt extremely anxious out of the blue, which never happened then or since when I was hiking. We were suddenly passed from behind by two college-aged boys in long pants and long sleeves. One was in a red shirt and the other blue. They were extremely distinctive looking, dark hair, tan, and dressed for late fall rather than midsummer. Mind you, we hadn't seen anyone going into the cave ahead of us on the trail or heard anyone before then. They stopped to tell us that something had fallen on the trail ahead and that it was dangerous. Then they rushed ahead around a curve. We went around that same curve, and just like that, it warmed back up, and there was no sign of the boys. This was maybe over the course of 2 minutes, and we were now on a straightaway. We should have been able to see them hurrying away from us. There was nothing unusual on the trail, and a few minutes later, we came across another set of hikers going down toward the cave. We asked them if they had seen a couple of guys going that way, and they looked at us like we had three heads. They hadn't seen anyone besides us in 15 minutes. If the boys had been hiking on the trail, they would have had to have passed this group. At this point, my husband let me know that right before it got cold, he had that feeling that someone had been watching us and actually grabbed the pocket knife he carried just in case. As soon as the boys showed up, that sensation disappeared. So, what do you think? Creepy 20-something boys that wanted to freak out a young couple, or a couple of ghosts? If not ghosts, where did they go or come from? Thank you for all you do and for your fantastic storytelling. You bring my husband and me lots of joy, and I hope y'all know how appreciated you are.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's very sweet. What a weird story. This is the second hiker story we've had where, I mean, in this case, it seems like they're older, but the other one was two boys on the trail that it was the same thing. Like the way you had to hike, there's no way you would have seen, you would have had to have seen whoever's coming and going. So all of a sudden when someone out of that you have not seen pops up, that is strange. I mean, if I throw everything out the window and just think straight paranormal, my brain would be like, oh, those two guys died on that trail because something had fallen and they're kind of now like in a loop or something. And so in their head, it's still that time. So they're warning others on the trail, because you didn't mention, Marissa, that y'all went around and there was something in the middle of the trail. If there was, that's different. If there wasn't, then that is even more like, okay, well, this seems like something else is at play then.
No, for sure. That's a really good point. Because at first I thought, oh, maybe it's a sentient spirit trying to warn them. But you're right. When you go up and there's nothing, but then them running and just disappearing. I've heard of certain spirits almost like on a loop. And maybe their loop is like running from the cave or coming from the cave, warning anybody there, and then going around the corner and they're gone. So then if someone went to hike again, they would see them do the same thing. Or, you know, kind of, oh, those are the same two guys that were, they're going to warn you that something's on the trail because of, like you said, kind of an unfinished business.
You got to go back.
Yeah, we all have to go. And it, or if anybody listening is like been had a weird experience like this in Indiana, hiking up a trail and feeling like you're being watched or something, good on your husband for being like, I got the knife ready.
The weirdest thing that's happened to me hiking was that time that Tommy and I came upon just a man standing in the middle of a field with a homemade sign that said Bush did 9/11. And I was like, I'm not,
preach, brother.
I'm not disagreeing. However, we're in Big Sur, sir. And what are you doing?
He's like, you got to get the message out. Also, this wasn't in like 2002 that he
had
this sign.
No, this was in 2014. 2017? 2018? No, no. It would have been, we got married in 2014. And what we took, I think it was 2015.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. We got married in 2015. This, I believe, was in 2016.
Okay, well, he's just like, never forget.
Still,
we
said it was a long time after.
That's wild. What a message to say of all. It's not like save the environment, right?
No.
And it's not like Bush did 9/11 in New York and you're standing in front of something. It's like, hey, man, I was here and this is the message that was on my heart.
And you're like, it was written on a piece of cardboard in black Sharpie and he had taped it to like a long stick and was just holding up, because sometimes you can't see the message over, you know, the field of flowers. So he was doing everybody a favor.
And plus, if a picket forms, you can join the line.
Yeah.
You don't have to go, oh, does anybody have a stick?
Damn.
You're already prepared.
I really missed an opportunity to go back with my own sign. And I'm like, no, there's two of us.
Join up.
We get one more. All of a sudden, we have a protest.
Come on now. We get a couple people around. You just need a handful. We got a movement pretty soon.
Everyone's like, we're trying to enjoy nature. The deer and the creeks. And we're like, we're trying to get the word out that steel doesn't just melt. Okay. So what are you going to do about it?
We're like, I went and read the reviews for Big Sur. It said great views, beautiful scenery. There is a large 9/11 truther contingent that is taken up in one of the hollows. Be aware. So, well, we'll just move. We'll go around that place. Or I'm we'll like, go straight to that place. Oh,
well, book my ticket then.
Take me there. If there's a forest with weirdos in it that seem inoffensive and nonviolent, I'm down. I want to see.
I will say, weird forest stories. I got a weird vibe from him just because anyone that's like out where you wouldn't expect that to be and you see it's unsettling.
You know that they're so impassioned about it that they made the sign, walked out there, are waiting. And they definitely, if they're by themselves, want someone to ask them about
it. Yeah. And I didn't.
You just gotta.
And nor did Tommy.
Keep going. Nope. Keep going. Like, head down.
Not gonna do it. And I will say, we sped up and at one point there he had like kind of we saw him in another place and I was like, no, we got to get out of here.
Nah, nope. Out.
Yeah, you never, I don't know. The places like that that are remote are beautiful. People also can't hear you scream. So yeah, you got to take the bad with the good.
Yeah, good on you, Marissa, for taking your husband with you and having a witness to this incident. But I'm interested in the listeners, what everybody thinks of multiple of these mysteries we have, from the haunted hikers to the wisp in the wind. What do we call it? The night streaker.
The night streaker. And then we have the maybe he's also a night streaker, and that's what the brown spot was on his tank top.
Yes,
and maybe what he had to wipe his own ass with his shirt. That's what I'm getting at.
He's like, some days you got to turn it
Why
around.
Why would you put it back on?
No, don't do that. Throw it out. Shred that shirt. Shred it. Well, burn thank it. Y'all.
He's like, well, if I don't have my shirt, then I can't wear my SpongeBob pants. I'll look stupid.
Yeah, I can't just do one.
Well, thank you to everybody for sending in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you've felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just send your email. You get immediate access to the chat, the videos before they get edited for YouTube, and a whole backlog of content just for signing up for free as a thank you.
Hell yeah.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, or anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, unpopular opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials where you can join for a week, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. Or do an annual membership, get 1 month free, and get so much all year long.
You can get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, like the segments we just mentioned. We have a True Crime Headlines dropping soon that we will discuss the new developments in the Idaho murders case, because this piece of shit.
For real, though.
And the only reason he's doing it is to get back in the news and to drag these families through hell again. And that I will die on that hill.
You're right.
You'll also get mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Don't forget to head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. You'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and, of course, tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Get them last tickets before they're gone, or you're going to have to just watch us live the dream over on social media. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthdays to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever it is you've done, we would love to celebrate with you by creating a customized video. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect when you don't have to leave the house and you know it's custom because we do a brand new one every time. Go to the website cameo.com/sinisterhood to get yours now. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm surfing the net at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinister.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.